Take a break from your busy schedule and join Harold Sala for Guidelines for Living.
Question: how do you take criticism? Some people are extremely sensitive to the least bit of criticism. They respond very negatively. And others couldn't care less what people say about them. Some world leaders are keenly aware of the press, and when the news media criticize, they vindictively lash out, deeply hurt, or they get revenge. Others, though, take the attitude of Frederick the Great. He was once asked how he felt about the sharp criticism that he had received, and he said, "I go through my appointed daily stage, and I care not for the curs who bark at me along the road." But most of us don't have quite as thick a hide as did old Frederick the Great. We do care, and down in our hearts, we often care a great deal more than we're willing to admit. What do you do when you're criticized? There are at least 5 clear responses, many variations, but 5 choices that confront you. First, you can resent the criticism. You can say that you were not deserving of what was said. The person is entirely wrong. You can say the motives were not right. And you may be correct. But letting your hatred turn to poison in your heart brings only suffering to you. And accordingly, you are the one who is hurt. There's a second choice. You can lash out at the one who criticized you. It's easy to do. You feel like you've been wronged. However, answering your critic is seldom the right thing to do. Now, if you believe you were right, your actions need no defense. Let them speak for themselves. To answer your critics may look as if you were wrong, and now you're finding reasons to buttress what you did. Truth needs no defense. Lives of great people indicate they seldom stoop to the level of their critics. They knew what they were doing was right, and resolutely but firmly, they kept at their task, and they didn't lose time by fighting their critics. This, though, doesn't mean that you're indifferent to criticism. So the third choice is to analyze the criticism. Look at it objectively if you can and try to sift out your personal bias. It's probably true that what your critics may have said was said out of a wrong spirit, a vindictive attempt to hurt you. Look at it carefully. Try to determine what is bias and what is truth. Again, it's possible that the criticism was intended to be constructive. You can profit a great deal from that situation, which leads to a fourth choice. Learn from the criticism. Regardless of how it was offered, is there something you can learn from it? Perhaps you are in the wrong. If you were wrong, it takes a big person to acknowledge it, but you'll want to do that. The fifth choice that is open is simply to forget the criticism and put it behind you. There are times that this is by far the best course of action. If you know you were right, forget it, and don't let it be a weight that hangs around your neck. Don't let criticism make you vindictive. Don't let it be a poison that blights your outlook on life. There are times when other people don't understand you, but if you are right, commit that criticism to God and keep moving. Travelers in the northern lanes of ocean traffic have often seen icebergs moving in one direction when the winds were ferociously blowing the opposite direction. The explanation is simple. 8/9 of their hulk is underwater, and the current deep in the ocean was moving it forward no matter which way the wind blew. Regardless of which way the winds of criticism may blow, stay with your convictions, don't retaliate. Just analyze and profit from it and forget it.
You've just heard Guidelines for Living. If you would like to hear more encouraging devotionals and stories of changed lives around the world, visit guidelines.org. That's also where you can join the Guidelines team in delivering the life-changing message of Jesus. Go to guidelines.org to see how you can impact the world with the hope of the gospel. Thanks for listening. And join us again next time for Guidelines for Living.